Hello and welcome to the Sportsbet Harness Racing Podcast. The second edition, of course. We're back for an absolute bumper card here at Menangle in New South Wales. I'm your host, Patrick Gushagan. I'm joined by Sportsbet's elite harness talent. This is Justin Carlefelt and Rod Basto. Welcome, boys.
Thank you, Pat. Yes, great to be back. Second edition of the Harness Podcast. Who would have thought after the first? And that may be a miracle in itself, which is good timing for Miracle Mile Night this Saturday.
Can we get Lazarus beaten this time?
Surely. I think we were wrong last time and we're still recovering from that. But maybe this is the week we can get him beat.
Absolutely, boys. And, of course, there's a bumper card, as I said. Six Group 1s, a Group 3. The Miracle Mile, of course, being run for a purse of $750,000. That's about as big as it gets in the harness racing world. And I tell you what, mate, I'm very excited. And, you know, I hope you boys are chomping at the bit as well.
It's a great race. It's, there's a lot of speed in the race, which is great. They're going to jump and run. And most importantly, you know, there's no clear favourite this year. It's, there's not much between Tribeca and Lazarus in the early markets. But really, when looking at the field, and we'll go through it soon, but there's many winning chances, isn't there, Rocket?
Oh, for sure, Justin. Yes, a barrier draw can make or break a race like this, and it certainly made this one.
Absolutely. Okay, boys, we're going to jump straight into it. The Miracle Mile, race 7 on the card on Saturday night, jumping at 9:32. So plenty of time there to grab a couple of beers and then sit on the couch and watch the Miracle Mile over 16.9 metres. We're going to start with Tiger Tara, of course, jumping from the first gate. Now, impressive heat winner last start, Justin. Can you fill me in a bit more on this?
Yeah, there's plenty of love around for Tiger. There always is. He's got the plum draw again in gate one. The connections will be absolutely smiling, not only for this race. They drew one in the Hunter Cup and one in the Inter-Dominion. So they've had their chance, and they draw one here again. They'll probably try and lead or settle leaders back. Look, it's a good spot to be in this race. I'm a bit of a pot for him at the price. Heat win was good, yet it was only slow. I've just got queries whether he can really step up and go that sort of 147, 148 required. But, there'd be plenty of love for Tiger. We're already taking some bets on him at the moment, but I'm happy to look elsewhere at this stage. What about you, Rod?
Look, the same as we said on the previous podcast leading into the Inter-Dominion, where he's drawn, he's just a bet each way to nothing. He should be there in the three place getters. Concerns me that they think they might be able to lead. I'd prefer to see them just be happy to accept that spot behind the leader. And then it's a case of, well, does the run come or not? And further to that, as you mentioned, Justin, can he sprint home in that final time that's required?
Mm. Yeah, as you said there, Rod, interesting to see if Todd McCarthy can drive Tiger Tara to the lead at the start of this cracking race. So number two, Juz, Atomic Red, emergency at this stage. Yep. Do you reckon there's any chance he could squeeze in for a run?
Emergency, no scratchings at this stage, but if it came in, then, you know, it's a plum draw for it. It would drop straight to the fence, follow speed, is an up-and-comer, he's still a four-year-old, would need a fair bit to go his way, but, yeah, obviously been emergency, we won't spend too much time on it, but, yes, a nice enough draw for it that it could sort of run top four or five, I think, if it gained a run.
Yeah, certainly not the roughest if you got a start.
Beautiful. So he's currently a $51 pop. Number three, Anything for Love, driven by Lauren Tritton, a real speed machine and a heat winner last start, of course. Justin, tell us a bit.
Last week, jumped to the front, ran quick time and just kept going, was challenged down the straight. I mean, this horse is just sort of just kept progressing just unbelievably. I mean, we're looking at, I think it was about 13 months ago, this horse was raced in a CO class race, started about $9 or $10 on debut for Shane Tritton. And during that prep, he was able to take it to, a fourth in a Chariots, and he was a winner of another race on this program last year. And then 12 months later, here we are talking about as a real live chance for the final. Look, I think it's probably get to the top. It'll run along. It'll be there for a long way. I'm just a little bit concerned about it over the last 50 metres. It could look like it's dragging a piano sort of late in the running when you've got these good sit sprinters around it. But, I mean, I know their guy to the right of me is much more confident about it. So I'll leave this to Rocket to dive into a bit more.
I tend to disagree there. I think this horse will just run its own race. We'll cross Tiger Tara and lead. and just go on with it, and nothing will get past it. I really think this horse has just come right at the right time. It's certainly the form horse, peak performance career-wise, last start in the lead-up to this race, and I think it can improve that little bit more that will be required nonetheless, and win. Anything
and
for
that's,
love.
That's the punters at home, take note there, because Rod doesn't, you know, usually like to come out, you know, not declare things, but he seems very confident. He's got that tone in his voice, and when he does, he's quite often right. So, the fact that he really likes this, very much take note there at the 750 and 210 on place.
Clear top pick for me.
Yep. Well, there you have it. You have Justin thinking that Anything for Love will be pulling the piano down the straight. You have,
well, I'll be there for a long while. I've just got concerns
Besto,
the last
best
50.
Of the night. All I can say is that a real family fair with the Trittons. Of course, the Lauren Tritton driving it, and then SP Tritton and LR Tritton, the trainers. So there'll be no love lost over that dinner table that night. Now, number four, My Field Marshal, an $8 pop. The trainer-driver, butt-brother combination. What can they do here?
Massive in the heat last week. I'll give it a great chance. It's one that won't be sort of involved in that early battle. It'll either go towards the pegs, potentially a three pegs position, or a one out, one back, but more likely sort of one out, two back. We'll be finishing like a freight train. Got home very quick time, about 53.2 last week, 25 and a half last quarter. Look, I've dived into some of the overs in the early markets. We've got at $8. So for those that do like a bit of value, there's still value there in this runner that will be finishing fast, coming off a massive run last week. It'll be very, 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 very close here, I feel, and very much in the finish.
Yeah, it was a terrific run last start, Justin and Pat. And I think its best spot would be to drop back to the pegs immediately, a couple back on the back of Tiger Tara, yep. And may in fact even be a better position than Tiger Tara in front of it, because if a run doesn't come on the inside for Tiger Tara in the straight, which it may not, anything yep. for love tends to maintain its line. This runner from a couple back is more likely to get off and get that split mid-pack in the straight, and boy, did he finish it off well last time.
Well, you've heard what the experts have said. $8 available for My Field Marshal. Now, number five, Jillaby Kung Fu. Since the spell has won the last three, including a Chariots of Fire winner as a four-year-old. Now, tell us a little bit about the trail to this Miracle Mile for Jillaby Kung Fu, and is it any chance, Justin?
It's been outstanding. Its three wins have been really, really good. Its Chariots win was out of this world, went 148, has high gate speed, will probably come out and have a look early, will be thereabouts, but it's a horse that's really, really progressed. I think after the Chariots, we chucked it into the Miracle Mile market at around the 34 or 41. Punters were straight onto it. The monitors were lighting up. They were all over it. 34, 26 became 21, 17, and now we're all the way into 11. It is a bad result for us, so we're pulling its tail, but a definite chance in a four-year-old up-and-comer that's going to be an open-class horse for years to come.
Yes, he's the form horse, the four-year-old, the up-and-comer. I think 1-1 will be the position for him, although, as Justin suggested, I think they'll have a little look for the front, but they'll be expecting Soho Tribeca, the next horse we'll look at, to come across and give him that perfect sit-in running.
Beautiful stuff, Rod. Now, Soho Tribeca, as you mentioned there, second, a huge second in its heat last start. Now, it's vying for favouritism with a horse we'll mention a little bit later in the podcast, but this is a big, big chance, Soho Tribeca, isn't it?
Massive, yeah. It is flying, has the gate speed, will come out with them. Could lob in a position, though, outside the leader, which is not usually a great position, albeit Lenny won from that position last year. Maybe a little bit vulnerable late, but the horse is airborne, will be on the pace and has to be in the finish the way it's going. It just has to repeat the performance it's been producing to be right amongst it here, Rod.
Yes, I certainly expect it to get up there outside the leader, anything for love, and there was a pimple in it last time. Who knows, might be the same again. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a really packed finish with not a great deal in the winning margin at all, and this horse no doubt will be in the thick of things at the end.
Very good. Now, yeah, definitely seems Greg Sugars has got his dime to earn that night. And if he can do a good job driving, then there's no reason why Soho Tribeca can get the chocolates. Now, number seven, running from the sixth gate. This one's a bit of a fan favourite. Lenny the Shark, of course, won the Miracle Mile at Menangle last year. Can he do it again, Justin?
I was on track for this win last year, and I said at the time, and I stick by it, as one of the greatest wins I've ever seen. There was certainly a fair amount of carry-on, given we were actually on Lenny last year. Gave him no hope in the run after he settled in the death seat with Lazarus on his back, but he was fabulous. As for his form leading into this, it's been okay. His Vic run was good, and then I thought last week he was just a little bit flat, a little bit plain, could improve, but I've been a massive fan of Lenny now for a long time. I think it's important to know when to jump off, and whether I'm right or wrong, I'm not sure, but I'm jumping off. I know Rod might not agree, but...
don't jump just yet.
I'd love to see him run well, and I'll be very happy if he wins, but I'm jumping off. I just think he goes back towards the tail. I just can't see how he passes the horses and all the horses in front of him to win the race. Like I said, happy to be wrong, and very rare to get these sort of odds about a horse like Lenny the Shark. We're looking at $21 and $4.20 the place in a 8-horse field. So if you're a Lenny fan and you want to stick with him, by all means do it, but I'm jumping off.
Well, I hope you're wearing your floaties just in case. Look, certainly he's probably his last season of racing. He's lost a few metres on what he may have shown at his best, but I don't discount him. It's something, this race, and going back to the Harold Park days, and it's carried through, in fact, to modern day at Menangle. Horses that perform well in this race continue to do so, and particularly these horses that have won a Miracle Mile. Of the last 20 individual winners of the Miracle Mile, both at Harold Park and Menangle inclusive, seven of those horses, and remembering that not all of them came back for a go the following year, but seven of those 20 horses came back the following year to win again. Three came back to finish second, and another three came back to finish third. So given the ones that didn't even attempt it, I wouldn't be surprised if Lenny's there at the finish.
Very loyal, Rock. Very, very loyal.
Oh, I'm going to stand by.
Clutching yeah. straws. Yeah. But no, there's stats in there. What, so
if you can be convinced by a man, I think Rodney's just convinced
he's
me.
Very
with,
good
that,
at it.
With that $21 on offer, you know, history could repeat itself.
That's executing the bet as we talk.
Absolutely. If Lenny the Shark could get the honours in the Miracle Mile, that would be something to behold. Now, we're going to move on to number eight, and this horse is on the drift. Opened at $151. It's drifted out to $251.
I have a love-hate relationship with this horse. I remember diving into the shorts about it once, I think at Bathurst or Young or wherever it was, and it couldn't get the job done. Now here it is fronting up in a Miracle Mile. I think every time I've bet around it, it's bobbed up at double-figure odds and won.
Well, they do call it the Miracle Mile for a reason.
And this could be it. I mean, if it's ever a 250-to-1 moral, this is probably it, given I won't be on it. So, look, I can't see it winning, but $31 the place. For those that like a horse that's going to go straight to the fence, probably sit four back on the fence, it'll beat a few home, because there's going to be horses that are pulling out wide, making big runs, trying to win the race, where Charlevoix will be taking shortcuts, hunting up along the pegs. And, yeah, $31 a place, it's certainly some chance.
One word, two letters, no.
Next, that's
very, that's all right I have to say. And tell you what, that's all you need to hear when it's $251 pop. I mean, there's no prizes for a top six finish here in that. The Miracle Mile. Now, number nine, another emergency, yet to find its way into the field. $151 pop is Let It Ride. Are we going to see it ride? That's a problem, probably not.
If it gets into the race, I still can't see it winning. From where it maps, goes back, no hope. It is in. If it doesn't get a run here, it's racing later in the night, where it'll be short price favourite and very hard to beat. But, yeah, I can't see it winning the Miracle Mile.
No, I agree, Justin. Good thing in the last race, but this stage a little bit short. Hopefully punters will get a little bit better as it gets closer to race time.
Beautiful, Rod. And just now, lucky last. The feature on the card, we like to say.
Super horse.
The super horse, arguably the greatest harness pacer of all time. The Winx of the harness industry, Lazarus, number 10.
This is going to be the one where everyone's right post-race, because if it comes out and doesn't run up to what it's capable of and doesn't win, people go, oh, well, of course it wasn't going to win off its run last week and it's had a bit of a setback. Or if it wins, people go, how'd they possibly bet $3.20 this horse?
you did mention just off air that Lazarus had a bit of a virus.
A little bit of a virus
coming into
through his stable. We don't know too much about Lazarus yet. Mark Purden, the trainer, has said all along that he's in relatively good nick and has said this week he is in good nick, so you have to take him on his word.
Absolutely.
It has been a bit of a hiccup with the stable, and Lazarus, his run last week was a little bit below par or well below par. But we're talking about a horse that has won $3.7 million in prize money, has won 35 out of 44 races. And I had a look through his history of runs, and in his 44 career starts, he's ran in, I think, 21 or 22 group ones. And despite racing in that top tier of racing the whole time, his average starting price across his whole career of 44 starts has been $1.50.
That's remarkable.
He's only started greater than $2, I think, five or six times, greater than $3 twice, and one of those was at his second start. So you're getting $3.20 about Lazarus. You don't know. Like I said, if he's up to his best, then it's the 3.20 is an absolute spoil. But there's a few risks involved with it, but you may never see this price ever again about this horse.
That's true. He's certainly a great horse. I'm not going to begin to pot him, and he certainly put an egg on our faces last time.
Absolutely.
We were
still recovering
talking about him. But it is a difficult assignment. He's drawn the widest gate. He's coming off that run where he seemed to have been affected by that bug and only beaten 4 metres, mind you. Yep. So given that there was probably something amiss on the night, it was a pretty good effort, really. And he is a great horse, no denying that. But, I think if he can come out and win this, they'll be saying the greatest comeback since Lazarus. I think there'll be a new saying, a new phrase that's being coined, the greatest comeback since – that hasn't been used before, has it?
I don't think so. No. I've heard of.
No.
For those listening at home, just keep an eye on the app. We can't go into it too much here, but just keep an eye on the app. I think between about 4 and 6 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon, if you go to this race and go to the Lazarus and press that little blue button, then you might see something special happen to the odds. And in saying that, across the card, we've also got a bit of a special as well in the first four races. So again, just check into the app there and see that for more detail.
Yeah, lots of ways to get involved in the race. You can even bet on what time they'll run. It doesn't matter which horse wins, or you can stick with Laz and suggest maybe he can run the track record in winning the race.
Correct.
So all sorts of options.
Fantastic stuff, guys. Just a question without notice I'll chuck across the desk. Now, Mark Purden traditionally is the trainer driver of Lazarus. He's opted for a driver change and thrown Natalie Rasmussen.
Yep.
The bone. Is this going to change things? Is this for the better or for the worse, boys?
I think it's for the better.
I agree.
She's a sensational driver. Mark's a good driver, but probably the top line, you know, Natalie's very much proven and a great driver, so I think she can definitely find that extra couple of metres that Lazarus might need.
Yep, definitely. Totally agree. Best trainer, but not the best driver. I think Natalie is a specialist driver.
Beautiful.
And is the right person to have in the sulky on the night.
Very good call. Very good call, Rod. Now, boys, just want to get a tip. Of course, we've dissected the field quite nicely, we feel. But just want to get your top two. I know we've sort of mentioned them throughout, but for those that have skipped to the end, if they have, I don't know why you would. Can we get your top two and a quick little reason again for Rod in the Miracle Mile?
For me, number three, Anything for Love, because it'll just simply lead all the way. I think the horse is just peaking at the right time. It's come on in leaps and bounds. And has everything it needs to win a Miracle Mile, the speed and the resilience to hold off all challenges in what no doubt will be a tight finish. And make sure you have something small on Lenny.
Oh, there we go, the loyalty. I can't go past my field marshal at the price. I think he's a sensational each-way bet. And if I was going to throw in another one for punters, Jillaby Kung Fu, I think, you know, you're looking at double figures odds, has the gate speed racing well, had the week off last week, has the benefit of the break where these others don't. Just another one at double figure odds, I think, is definitely worth a bet.
Beautiful. And I'm going to go for, of course, the horse we talked about at the end there, Lazarus winning the Inter Dominion and the Hunter Cup. I mean, That's good enough for me. And of course, I'm going to back you in, Lenny the Shark, to surprise a few people to come second. Now, boys, of course, we mentioned at the top of the show that six Group 1s and a Group 3, an absolute smorgasbord of harness racing, more Group 1s than you can poke a stick at. Have you got any other tips throughout the night that you just want to share with people before we sign out?
Well, I'm hoping a horse I part own called Red Bank Addy gets a run in the Oaks.
You're not going to
at 250-1. She's in race 3, so I think if she actually headed onto the track as they're finishing race 2 and started then, she's a massive chance for top 5. But let's steer away from her. I think in that same race, She's All Rock, another great each way bet. $6.50 available. Think it's a horse on the up, very much untapped. Mm-hmm. And one later in the card in the two-year-old Sapling Stakes. I don't often tip in the two-year-old races, but there's lots of question marks, but you can work with what you know. My brother and his wife bred and owned the number 5 Muscle Factory. Was very good on debut.
How's
my brother.
They run a gym
back in Wagga Wagga, and a lot of the members call it the Muscle Factory.
Very good.
So it was a bit of a G up. This horse was quite a muscly yearling and early two-year-old, so they've named it Muscle Factory as a horse for the members to be able to follow. He was absolutely sensational on debut, going quick time. I know trainer driver Ricky Elchin is very bullish about him. He said he's come on well from that. So, look, there are question marks in the race, a couple of other nice horses, but later in the card, if you're looking to sort of to build the bank or get out, blast out stakes almost.
Head to the Muscle Factory.
Head to the Muscle Factory and
beautiful.
Pump on up $3.50.
Rod, how about you, mate? Best for the night?
Yeah, probably the two races immediately preceding the Miracle Mile. Race 5's the Derby, and in that I like the third pick in the market, number 5, Maritai, and then race 6 immediately after that. This one's the free for all. Number 9, San Carlos, around $9 or $10 at the moment. I think it'll be pretty hard to beat in that.
Beautiful. And Juz, anything you're going to lay for this evening on Saturday night?
Look, we're top odds at the moment on Princess Gemma, so it sort of ties into one of my best bets on the night. She's All Rock each way. Also really like Nostra Villa in that race, and as a result, I think I'm Princess Gemma is too short.
Mm-hmm.
We are clear top odds at the moment at 340. We'll continue to maintain that aggressive position for as long as we can from a trading perspective. So if you do like that that heat winner on Princess Gemma, was very good for the gun trainer Emma Stewart, definitely come to Sportsbet and you'll be getting top odds there.
Beautiful. And Rod, anything that you just absolutely don't like the look of on Saturday night?
Oh, well, probably more so the first race. It's always a big battle between bookmaker and punter and the favourite in the first, whether it gets up or not. And so in race 1 at Menangle, Mrs. Brown's Boy, number 12, it's a very backable price and certainly will be hard to beat. But, of course, we'll be hoping that he can go down in race 1, number 12.
And if Lazarus gets up, we may never be back. This may be it. So this may be the final Harness podcast.
Very good, boys. Now, of course, all roads are leading to Menangle on Saturday night, 9:32. Be there or be square, as they say in the harness racing industry. I don't really say that, but be there. I've been joined by Rob Bastow and Justin Carlfelt, our elite harness traders. They know the sport back to front. I've been your host, Patrick Garshagan. I hope you've enjoyed. And, of course, if you are having a little punt and a little flutter on the Miracle Mile night, please do so responsibly.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Good luck.